prayer. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for this season of Lent, for the opportunity to pause, to make sense out of our life. We thank you that however we may be feeling, whether we feel your presence or not, you are walking alongside us in this journey, and that even when we don't feel you in our hearts, and we don't remember you in our brain, you abide with us, you remain with us, you move with us. So loving God, we ask that you would move with and through us right now as we spend a little time exploring your word. We pray all of this in the name of your Son. Amen. So ever since I really got started with this whole Christian thing, when I was about 16 years old, every year my faith has kind of evolved into something else. My beliefs have been influenced by everything from classes I took in college and seminary to books I've read and people I've met to experiences I've had where I've genuinely felt God's presence in my midst. All of those things have influenced me. There are some beliefs that I have had that have more or less remained the same for me over the years. For example, I believe in God's sacrificial love as earnestly as I did when I was a teenager. And even though it's against all logic and evidence, I continue to believe that at certain points in my life, I have encountered and been marked by something outside of myself, something loving and powerful and good, something that I call God. So Psalm 91 for me is one of those things that I have brought with me through every step of my faith life. It's actually one of the few Bible passages that I've actually taken the time to memorize. I've spent a lot of time repeating certain verses from Psalm 91. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes in midday. No evil shall befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. I first memorized these verses while I was working at a Christian summer camp, and I would recite them to myself over and over again whenever I was scared at night. See, at this camp, we slept on these really small platforms that had these pretty rickety outline structures with a canvas over top of them. And there really wasn't much separating us from the outside world. Even just a small gust of wind could easily blow the flaps of the tent entrance open, exposing us to the elements of the night. And so when I would hear the coyotes howl or the raccoons aggressively eat our trash from the night before, I got scared. I got scared that some of the campers would wake up and that they would be inconsolably frightened, something that happened from time to time. I got scared that an actual animal would make its way into the tent and that I would have no way to protect these children that were underneath my care. And then I got scared that something even more sinister might find its way to us in the dark, in the nights. See, the years that I worked at this Christian camp, my colleagues were especially interested in something that we might call spiritual warfare, which means that we spent a fair amount of time thinking and worrying about demonic forces on the camp. Now, stick with me here. This is not a whole sermon about demons, I promise. But there was a thing, and I was an early Christian. I was a new Christian. I didn't really understand it, and so I wasn't expert on it. But I was intrigued by this idea that spiritual forces can affect our everyday lives. And I was also just straight up terrified that something that I couldn't see could harm me. And so at night, I would pray Psalm 91. Whenever I feared something malevolent was near. I would recite these words over and over again as a way of keeping myself safe. You will not fear the terror of the night. No evil will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. I would say these words as a kind of protection charm, as a talisman against the things that go bump in the night. As I did a little bit of digging into Psalm 91, I was genuinely surprised to discover that I was not the first person to pray Psalm 91 as a kind of magical incantation. Early church fathers encouraged their students to recite Psalm 91 to, quote, make their minds fearless. Some rabbis actually referred to Psalm 91 as an amulet psalm, as if reciting it over and over again may help you summon the presence of God. And apparently for centuries, both Jews and Christians wore actual amulets around their necks with parts of Psalm 91 enclosed within them in order to ward off both spiritual and physical harm. My research also uncovered that the references to the terrors in the night, the arrows in the day, the pestilence in darkness, the destruction at noonday, they may have been references to known demons in the ancient Near Eastern culture. And so the author of the psalm may have written it as a way of providing some kind of spiritual protection in and of itself. And before you roll your eyes completely in the back of your head, let me just say to you that, like, it's out there, but I get it. Like, I get why people would recite psalms in order to feel safe. I get why people would cling to something, to anything that gives them a modicum sense of power in their lives. The truth is, we all long for security. We're all looking for an antidote for the rub wounds of our past and the pain of our present. We all want to feel safe and secure and certain. I want to feel safe and secure and certain. And while I don't consider myself a particularly superstitious person, and while I've pretty much moved on from my interest in demonic forces, as it were, I recognize the ways in which, in my own life, I still cling to talisman as ways of keeping myself safe. I wear my own amulets of protection to make my life protected. I achieve, I hustle, I work myself to the bone. I align myself with prestigious institutions and people. I demand perfection of myself so that I can live each and every day beyond reproach and beyond reprimand. And I've tricked myself into believing that these things will protect me, that these things will keep me safe, that my ambition, my humor, my achievements, my anything will keep the chaos of the world at bay. But I'm beginning to realize that anything that I thought made me unique or special will not save me, that no work that I accomplish, no words that I utter will guarantee my happiness and well-being. They will not save me. And so as I read Psalm 91 today, I'm no longer drawn to the parts that list off cures for individual pains and anxieties. God will deliver you from the snare. You will not tread on the lion or the adder. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Instead, I'm drawn to the promises that come at the end of this psalm, the promises that come directly from God. When you call me, I will answer. I will be with you in all trouble. I will fulfill you with long days. I will show you my salvation. The God of Psalm 91 does not assure me that everything will work out, that I will be safe. But instead, God promises God's presence and God's attentiveness at all times, even when trouble inevitably rises. So I suppose my faith has changed since my camp counselor days, in that I don't feel like I have to depend on my power, my actions, my perfection nearly as much as I used to. I don't need to recite psalms to keep myself safe, and I recognize that even when I do sometimes occasionally recite Psalm 91 in a moment of fear, it is not a guarantee for my safety, for my protection, for my health. I no longer see God just as this cosmic being who I can control with my magical words. No, God is so much bigger and so much more complex than that. I don't believe that if I say the right words or if I have enough faith or whether I'm an exceptionally good person that God will save me from illness or terror or disaster. I see myself as much smaller. And yet, I'm also much more trusting of that from which is outside of me. This is not to say that God does not intervene in human affairs. Like, I believe that God can and does respond to us in concrete ways. I believe there's a reason to pray. This is just to say that in my faith and in my life, I am striving to let go of a little control. I'm trying to live with a little less certainty in my life. And I'm trying to trust that God is with me even though I don't always feel God's presence. I'm trying to remember that I don't need to read a daily devotion or write in a prayer journal to win God's affection. I already have it. And even though I have totally already bailed on my Lenten practice, I am trusting that God continues to journey with me during these 40 days, whether I'm aware of it or not. So on the first Sunday of Lent in the lectionary, this psalm, Psalm 91, is included because the devil quotes part of the psalm while tempting Jesus in the wilderness. The Luke passage version of the story says this: "Then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written in Psalm 91, He will command His angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against the stone.'" So this passage shows us that even by the time Jesus came around, people were twisting Psalm 91 to perpetuate a false sense of security. Yes, God is powerful. But that does not mean that we as righteous individuals can bend God's power to our will. Terrible things happen. Some terrible things happen because we need to right injustices in the world. We have power over them. And some terrible things happen just because they happen. And the blunt truth that I have come to realize is that our lives as Christians are not any more secure than anyone else's. The walls of our lives are paper thin, just like everyone else's. But when, not if, when the terrible thing happens, we are assured that we are not alone. God is there. The church, if it's doing its job, is there. Our loved ones are there. You will not fear the terror of the night. Not because of some talisman that you cling to keep you safe. You will not fear the terror of the night because God is there with you in the dark, in the night. And for me, if the knowledge of God's presence is all that I have, well, for me, that's enough. So that's where I am. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. Loving God, we're grateful for the ways that you continue to stretch us and grow us. We ask that during this season of Lent, you would send the right people and the right thoughts so that we may be thinking about what's next for us. We may be thinking about who you are, who we are, who we are called to be. We ask that as our faith changes and evolves, that we have reminders along the way that you have not abandoned us, that we are not reduced to ashes, that you truly, God, are with us, even when we don't feel safe and secure. Loving God, thank you for keeping us safe in all times, especially in the long and dark nights. We pray all of these things in the name of your Son. Amen.